If you have your Bibles, go over to Galatians chapter 6. That's where we're going to be today. I see some jerseys and some people representing their team. I know Matt, he's the one person that likes Georgia around here. I almost wore my Alabama shirt, but then I thought, you know, some people would have a hard time receiving from me if I did. So just skip it altogether. But glad to get back and watch some football. I went and watched my nephew play football. He plays high school football on Friday night. It was great to be in the stadium. And so looking forward to this season. In fact, I agreed to be my son's Little League baseball coach this year. We got him signed up. And so I'm officially the head coach of the 12-year-old Yankees at the Perdido Bay Youth Sports Association. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Last time I did it, I coached was 7 years ago, and I told myself I would never do that again. And 12 people left the church. I have a lot to answer to God about. I'm pretty competitive. I told people after that experience that coaching a Little League baseball team is way more stressful than pastoring a church. There's a lot more involved there. And so yesterday I went to the sporting goods store and got some new gear for coach. I just started buying random stuff. I got a whistle. I don't know why I have a whistle, but I had one. I'm a baseball coach with a whistle, I guess. I got a 1987 Chevy Silverado because every good coach has a good old pickup truck. No, I'm kidding. I didn't get that. But I do need $1,500 in sponsorship for our team. All right, so if anybody wants to give towards that. No, I'm kidding. I am looking forward to making memories of my son. He was so excited when we told him he was going to play. In fact, Pastor Matt is my assistant coach. So if we win the championship, it's on me. If we lose, Pastor Matt didn't pull his weight. I started thinking to myself, though, I'm not sure how this is going to work out. I don't have a lot of room for anything else in my life. And so I've been a little bit stressed out about how to figure out how to work all this stuff out. I'm like you, I've got a lot going on. And so to add coaching a baseball team in the middle of it seems a little bit overwhelming. It reminds me of this picture right here. This feels a little bit about my life right now. How many of you would say that feels like my life too? It's like I got a lot going on. And so this morning what I wanted to do is just take a little time out and do a little check and just ask you a really important question to consider. It's a question you get asked more than any question there is, but rarely do we get an honest answer. And that is, how are you doing? How are you doing? I know that generally people ask us that question, they don't really mean to get a real answer. They just want us to, you know, we'll say we're fine, we're good, things are all right, and we move on very politely. But this morning I want to ask us a question, you know, how are we doing really? Like, how are you handling this season? If you're like me, you probably feel a bit overwhelmed. And in fact, if you don't feel overwhelmed, maybe you're not in touch with what's really happening, because there's a lot going on. You just talk about what's happening, you know, in a macro sense, political, cultural unrest, global pandemic, economic uncertainty. And that's just like the big stuff. And then we got stuff that's happening in our life, in our family, and what's going on in our home. And so I just say this, that it's natural if we feel overwhelmed this morning, and I don't want you to think that you're alone. In fact, I don't know everybody in this room, but if you're here today thinking you're the only one struggling or the only one that's overwhelmed, I know a lot of people in this room, and I know that they're struggling too. Like, beneath the surface, there's struggle that every one of us are having. And so I believe that God has something he wants to do for us today. You know, life is just overwhelming sometimes. Sometimes you can't avoid it. It happens to us. Stuff happens. It's outside of your control. It's just sort of, it feels like in some ways the weight of the world is on our shoulders. We didn't choose it. We didn't want it. We want out from under it. And that's sort of the season we're in. But other times, life is overwhelming because of our choice. Like, it's self-inflicted. Like a series of bad decisions. Maybe saying yes to too many things. Maybe for you, it's been a long season. You got stuff that's just been happening in your life, and it just feels really overwhelming. And even in a moment like this, as great as it is to sort of be a bit of an escape out of the real world, to come into an environment to sing and to declare God's goodness, maybe if we were honest, that just on the other side of the words we've been singing, maybe there's some pain here. And the worship was great this morning. Didn't they do a great job? But some of us maybe sort of grinning and bearing it a little bit. And maybe managing things okay, but sort of on the brink. And others of us, is just we're all the way gone. You know, it's not the first picture I showed you. Maybe this is a better picture of how your life is right now. You know, eventually it's just too much. And it all catches up to you. And you're in over your head. If we were to be really honest, I think that all of us in this room would say that we're carrying something today. That we have a burden. And this is why, you know, we're starting groups again. So it's a great time to be here, especially if you're new. So we're starting groups all over the place and even online that you can be a part of. And I think it's great. But let me just say this. We don't do groups because we need another thing in our busy life. We don't do groups because this is what churches do. That's another thing to offer people. We don't need another thing on our website, on our bulletin. We don't even do groups because it's better to do stuff with people than it is to be alone, even though that's a big part of it. We do groups because you and I need the right relationships, because inevitably life is too heavy for us to handle alone. And we need the right people. And whenever we find ourselves in those types of seasons, having the right people around us determines a lot of what we get out of it. Solomon says, pity on the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. How many know that we all get ourselves and we all find ourselves in seasons sometimes where we can't recover ourselves? We need help of somebody else. I want to look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It speaks very powerfully about how life sometimes gets heavy. And what do we do in the middle of our burdens? So as we go there, let me ask you an important question. What are you carrying this morning? What are you carrying? Like, what's weighing you down? What are you holding on to that you need help with? Maybe you're stressed out about how to pay the bills this month. Maybe you're having a hard time as a parent. Maybe you're at the end of your rope with your kids. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're struggling with rejection. Maybe you're afraid of illness. Maybe resentment. Maybe some of us are hurt here today, and others of us are carrying a lot of shame. What are you carrying today? And I want us to do something specific with the specific thing that you're carrying. And I want you to know that no matter what you're carrying here, you don't have to carry it alone. Come on, somebody say amen to that. You don't have to carry it alone. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Well, that just says it right out. If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, that they take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it speaks truth into our life. It brings life into our bones, God. It renews our hope and our strength. And Lord, I just pray that we give our heart and our attention to you and what it is that you might say. Thank you, Lord, that you can use my words. Grateful that you can use me in spite of me. I pray that you help me to speak truth and that you use it to impact people's lives today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You know, maybe in the context of this verse, that's not exactly what you're going through. You're not, as it were, caught in sin. But let me just make a comment about Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It's not, I like how the King James Version says it. It doesn't say those who are caught in sin. It says those who are overtaken by sin. And that's a more accurate picture. So it's more than just you've been busted or you've been found out doing bad stuff. No, this actually means that you're caught, that you're overcome, that you're overwhelmed, that you're out of control, and you actually need some help to get out of the situation that you're in. And of course, I really want to focus on the one part where it says, carry one another's burdens and thus fulfilling the law of Christ. How many understand that when you said yes to Jesus, when we trusted him with our life, It didn't just mean we pray this prayer and ultimately one day we go to heaven. Okay, that's a significant part of it. But what it means to embrace Jesus means that now he gets the privilege to determine the way in which we live our life. Okay. So now every part of our life is now shaped and guided and led by who Jesus is. And one part in particular is our relationships, the way that we care for one another, the way that we love each other. How many understand we don't just get to care for one another the way that we want to care for them, but we're actually called to have relationships the way that God has asked us to have relationships, all right? Does everybody get that? Say amen if you get it, okay? Jesus says this in John 13:34. He says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. It's a powerful statement. Love one another as I have loved you. So the same way that Jesus has loved us is the way that we're supposed to love somebody else. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Carry one another's burdens and thus fulfilling the law of Christ. Last weekend, my wife Kristen went out of town for a few days and to get away, and she had some meetings to go to. And so it was just me and my boys, and we were by ourselves for a few days, and they survived. They made it, okay? And when Kristen was on her way back, we have the Life 360 app so we can track one another. I'm so glad they didn't have that when I was a kid. But now I can see exactly where my kids are. I can see where my wife is at all times. And so when she was on her way back, I looked it up and I was like, she's an hour and a half away. So I called a family meeting. I got the boys together and I said, boys, it's time to go to work. We got to get this house in order before mama gets home. Because I wanted her to come home and walk in the door and everything look as if I was in complete control for the last 3 days. But how many know in 3 days, three boys can make a big mess around the house? So I'm doing laundry, I'm folding stuff, I'm cleaning stuff. I called one of my sons and I told him to go and clean up the kitchen. So I'd tell him four more times, and he eventually went in and cleaned the kitchen up, started putting everything together, doing the dishes and all that. And then after he came, he said he was done, and I walked into the kitchen and I discovered he wasn't done. Has anybody else's kid says I was done, and then you looked at me like, you ain't done? So I went in the kitchen, he wasn't done, and there's literally trash still on the counter. There's dirty dishes still on the counter. I'm like, what's up with the dirty dishes? And he looks at me and says, those aren't mine. Those aren't mine. Those are my brother's. It's not fair if I got to clean up after him. Those aren't mine. How many moms would like to use that excuse right there? That ain't mine. I ain't got to clean up that. I only clean up stuff that's mine. I said, no, I didn't tell you to go clean up your mess. I said, go clean up the mess in the kitchen. And here's the reality. This is where it comes in. This is how we're supposed to care for one another, carry one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. How many understand that you're never more like Jesus until you begin to assume responsibility for someone else's mess? That's what it means to love like Christ, is when we assume responsibility for someone else's mess. That's what carrying one another's burdens ultimately means. And this is, by the way, how Jesus cares for us. Aren't you glad that when Jesus looked at you, he didn't say, not my problem? That isn't mine. I didn't do that. Right? No, he steps in and he cares for us when we need him. And he assumes responsibility for our failure and our shortcomings. And this is what Galatians is writing to tell us. And this is an interesting section because you can read in this section, it almost contradicts itself. Like at the beginning of it, it says, carry one another's burdens, and this is how you fulfill the law of Christ. But at the end of the section, it says, carry your own burdens. Carry your own load. Right? And here's what it's really, you know, just to make sure that we don't mistake what's actually being said here. When this is saying, this is a safeguard against people's personal responsibility becoming your responsibility. Or maybe let's say it this way. This means when someone's irresponsibility is now your responsibility. That's not what carrying one another's burdens mean. How many understand there's a difference between being unwilling to carrying a burden and being unable to carrying a burden? If I'm unwilling, right, that's irresponsible. But there's also times in life to where you are overcome, where you are overloaded, where you are overwhelmed to the point that you're willing and you want the help and you want to do better, but it is too big for you to handle by yourself. This isn't perpetuating irresponsibility. I'm sure that many of us, all of us, likely probably know people in our life who are content with you being responsible for their irresponsibility. But that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about actually supporting and caring for one another so that they get what they need, so ultimately they can be back on their feet whole and healed. That's what it means to be restored. That there are some situations that people walk through, they don't need you to carry them for the rest of your life, even though that's how it feels. They just need you to carry them long enough so that they can recover their strength so that they can move forward for themselves. Somebody say amen to that. So they can be back on their feet. I'm willing to bet that if we had opportunity to have a really, really honest moment in this room, like if we had the courage to actually think about what's really happening in our life, not how are things going, but how are we really doing? If we stop long enough to ask a hard question to someone and we provide an environment for them to answer, I believe in this room, there's probably almost every one of us maybe on the edge of tears of how things are really happening right here. And can I tell you something? What's happening around you is secondary to what's happening right here. And this doesn't mean that you're not capable, but are we tough enough to have an honest moment and to come to the place to where we're willing to open up our chest cavity, if you will, and to be honest about what's really happening? And my fear is, here's why I say that if we don't do that, you're going to be limping forever. You're going to keep coming back to the same issue. James 5, verse 16, it says, confess your sins or confess your faults one to another and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed. You know, we ask God to forgive us. He forgives us. God says to talk to one another about your healing. If you confess your faults one to another, you will be healed. Pray for one another and you may be healed. Prayer is powerful and effective. We have to have a community like that to where we're willing, we're open to open up our lives and say, here's what's happening, good, bad, and ugly. And don't misunderstand what I'm not saying about if, you know, some of y'all are like, I was going to a group until you said that. Okay. You know, what is like our small group like every week? Okay, welcome to our small group. One after another, just talking about the bad stuff you did that week. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the opportunity to build a relationship that has the depth and is connected in such a way to where there is awareness and there is safety and there is protection in such a way for all of us to be vulnerable about what's really happening in our life. And until we do that, guess what? This church, as awesome as it is, this worship team cannot compensate for that. This message right here will never do what you and someone who really loves you gets to when you say, here's what's happening in my life. Can you pray with me about it? And you pray about it and some things get taken care of and some things get healed. I pray, and we have some work to do, I pray that we're the type of church where people can walk in with their hurts and their hang-ups and their issues and their struggles, and what they find is a humble group of people who are welcoming and open, where it's a safe place where they can open up their life. And when they come in, they don't have to feel like they have to pretend like everything is okay when it ain't okay. Come on, how many know church sometimes they make you pretend like everything's okay? Come on, we've all been on the way to church in a fight with our spouse before. Walk in the door, act like nothing's wrong. This is why me and Kristen drive separately to church every Sunday. Avoids that problem, right? Can we just be the type of church where you don't have to wear a mask and you don't have to pretend if everything's okay? And if we're going to do that, there's a place where healing's going to come to. But what we have to do is we got to make the choice and the decision. We can't freak out when people take their masks off. Because what happens in a relationship, when people in your life start to get real and you freak out over it, guess what happens? Oh, got to put that mask back on. Right? We have a responsibility and an obligation so that when people open up their life and say, you know what, I know it looks right, but everything's not right in my life, and I'm looking for some people to come in with me and shoulder this with me. If you freak out over that, how could you do such a thing? Galatians 6, watch yourselves, right? Be cautious of being superior to other people's challenges and struggle. It continues to perpetuate this challenge. Can we be that type of church? Can we strive towards that type of church? And I just want to say, if you're overwhelmed here today, if you're burdened, if you're overloaded, you're not alone. You're in good company. I love this picture. Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, it says this of Jesus. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he called and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, this is Jesus to his disciples, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He's in despair. He's overwhelmed. His world is falling apart. And then he looks at his disciples and he says, stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken away from me, but not as I will, but as you will. Don't church that statement up, all right? We church that statement up, make it like it's real religious. What he's doing, he's on the ground saying, if there's anything else that can be done, please let that happen. He's overwhelmed. Then he returned to his disciples and found them what? Sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. I think that's an amazing thing. These guys had been following Jesus for years and frankly were needy for years. Every time they had a need, Jesus was present to meet that need. Jesus was caring, patient, gentle. And the one time Jesus actually needed something from them, they fell asleep on him. If you've ever been in a situation where you were overwhelmed and you needed somebody and they weren't there, you've been disappointed by people, then you can remember, so is Jesus. And by the way, it's not easy to be attentive to somebody else's needs. If you've got stuff going on in your life, they dozed off. So I want to end with three simple things. It's going to be super easy, okay? And here's what I want to challenge us all to do. Here's how, I don't want you to think about what people need to be doing for you. I want you to think about how do you carry the burdens of somebody else, okay? And if you're a group leader here, let me see a show of hands. If you're a group leader, let me see your hand. Okay, they're all in the other services apparently. Small group leader. Pastor Matt over here, give Matt a round of applause, all right. Okay, this is the last session in your group training, okay? And let me mention this. I pray that Liberty Church is a place that shepherds itself. And what I mean by that is not that pastors don't do their job, but that we care for one another. That as wonderful as Pastor Matt and Pastor Patrick and all these people around us and your group leaders, what we have to do is we have to figure out how to do this for one another if we're gonna grow up and become what he's called us to be, okay? Three simple thoughts. Number one is show up. Everybody say, show up. Show up. Where can a faithful friend be found? That's what the scripture says. Everyone can show up. If you've had people in your life let you down, then so has Jesus. We've all been in that situation. Okay, showing up makes all the difference in many ways. If I were to rate compliments that other people could give you about your, you know, think about the best compliment that can be paid to you about the way in which you've been a friend or you've related to somebody. Best compliment you can give is not, you know, you were funny, you made me laugh, you know, you were inspiring, you cared, you were good looking. Best compliment anybody can say about you and your friendship or your relationship is, you were there. You were there. I've heard it 100 times. You were there for me. About other people that they're talking about how important the relationships, there's nothing like you were there. You were there when I needed you. You were there for me. Proverbs 18:24, one who has unreliable friends soon come to ruin. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. My guess is many of us have lots of friends on Facebook, maybe hundreds, maybe even thousands. Does that mean that anybody's gonna show up when you need them? We have this like illusion that we're connected to people, but they're not actually involved in our life. They're not gonna be there. And we need people in our life that are there. You know, and if we're gonna have that in our life, then we're gonna have to be that for somebody else. Everybody say, show up. The King James Version says, a man of many companions comes to ruin. I heard a pastor say, when we have a group, our sorrows are divided and our joys are multiplied. Something about just being with other people that makes all the difference. So show up, everybody say show up. Second is shut up. Everybody say shut up. Show up and shut up. You know what I found is that okay to say in church? I don't know. Talk to the pastor about that. You know, when people are struggling, they don't need your cliches. They don't need you to say something profound. They don't need your pat answers, right? They need you to shut up. And you know what they need? They need a listening ear and a caring heart. That's what bearing someone's burden is. You know, when I counsel somebody or when I go for counseling, really it's just sit down and just let me talk about what's happening in my life. And listen with a caring heart. You know, Galatians 6 tells us that we have to be cautious. We have to have controlled responses. I would challenge you, the most powerful thing that you can do in people's life is the ministry of presence, where you're there. And how many know there's a difference between being there physically and really being there? And sometimes that's difficult because we're numb, but we're not connected to what's actually happening. This is what happens with the disciples. I mean, they had the ability to fall asleep and Jesus's life was being crushed. Galatians says, you who are led by the Spirit, so if you have somebody in your life who's struggling, you have to resist the urge to being controlled by your emotions and your feelings. How frustrated this makes you be, or how overwhelmed you are for them and how they could do better, but instead be led by the Holy Spirit so that you can restore them gently. Because somebody that's struggling and overwhelmed and overloaded is a vulnerable person. We have to humble ourselves. We have to listen. We have to take care of them. We have to look reflectively at our own life. And then we have to pray. That's what James says. Confess your faults. I'm bearing my burden. Let's pray about it. You know what they need? They need a listening ear and they need your faith. They don't need your solutions. They don't need your answers. Come on, let's go to God with this situation and let's let Him sort this thing out. Okay, everybody say, show up. Shut up. Number three is shoulder it. Everybody say, shoulder it. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, it's Exodus chapter 17. The children of Israel are fighting the Amalekites. Joshua is taking them out. Moses is on the hill, and it says, as long as Moses's hands are raised, they win the battle. But in time, Moses starts getting tired, and it says that his hands start drifting. And it says in that moment, Aaron and Hur come behind him and they grab a boulder and they sit it behind him so that he can lean on it. And then they come on either side and they raise his hands up. And as long as his hands were raised, they saw the victory. We got to shoulder it. You know what this means? This means when you find somebody that's struggling, do everything in your power to make their life as easy as it possibly can. You know, I love this church. One of the things that Liberty is known for is its generosity and caring for each other. People that bring meals to take care of people when they're in trouble. If there's one upside to my family getting sick, is somebody's gonna bring some food. All right, you may not be able to answer all their problems, but you can cook a mean lasagna, all right? Come on, how many know that goes a long way? Take care of it. Find ways to do it. Be generous. Try to meet a need. You can pray for them. You can encourage them. You can be a voice of reassurance in their life. Is there anything that I can do? I'm ready to take it off your plate. Shoulder it. Listen to them. Be patient with them. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. You know what the word bearing with one another means? It means to put up with them, hold them up, endure with it. Forbearance, you know, it's like I'm going to hold on. I'm bearing this thing. Show up, shut up, and shoulder it. Hopefully you can remember that. Let me say this. If you're a group leader, Matt, appreciate you. And I hope you get involved in a group. Let me end this way. You know, I don't know where you come from. I don't know what your background is. But I just want you to know this, that Jesus wants to lighten your load. One of the contrasts that he gave is he said about the religious leaders in Matthew 23, he says, they tie up heavy burdens and they put it on people. And they're not willing to lift a finger to help them off. He took great offense that actually people are taken advantage of in their struggle and in their pain. And he contrasts that with himself in Matthew 11. Here's what he says. He says to all those that are struggling and all those that have a burden, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Can I tell you something? That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for, you know, upward mobility or financial security. We're not looking for a vacation. What we're looking for is rest for your soul. Like, how many know you can have everything going on right on the outside, but if your soul's not at rest, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many people are around you. It doesn't matter how much time you have to do what you want if your soul's not right. This is a great invitation for those of us who are overwhelmed to come back or to come to him. He'll take our burdens. He says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. You know, religion says pressure on. Relationship with Jesus says pressure off. I've come to take stuff off of you, not to put stuff on you. Why don't we bow our heads? The good news of Jesus is that he takes responsibility for your mess and my mess. In fact, it says that he bears our failure and our sin on himself. He deals with it. He resolves it. He's the only one that actually can be responsible with it. We just have to trust him. We have to come to him. And if you're here today or if you're watching online, wherever you're at, God knows exactly what's going on in your world. You matter to him. If you're overwhelmed, if you're overloaded, if you're weary and you're burdened, I believe that today is the day to come home. You can come to him and he'll receive you. Every service we've had today, there have been people that have said yes to him, and I believe today will be no different. If you're here and you need to say yes to Jesus for the first time or come back to him, whether you're in this room or you're watching online, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to pull you forward. If you're online, you can press the button that just says raise your hand. And if you're in this room, I just want to pray with you right where you're at. If you need to say yes to him today, would you just raise your hand so I can see you? Awesome, 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 awesome. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Awesome. If you're online, just press that button. Raise my hand. God will meet you here. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I want us all to pray this prayer because we all need to come to him. Everyone say, Jesus, I come to you. I'm weary, burdened. I need your rest. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new. I give you control of my life. Lead me. Empower me. Change me. In Jesus' name, amen.